My period is so irregular that I got it right before we started recording. And two episodes ago, I got it while we were recording. That's how regular it is. I'm drinking a beer. I'm hungover. The usual.
I slept so long today. So long. I slept for what, like 12, 13 hours? I slept for a long fucking time.
Did you take like a sleeping aid of some kind?
No, but yesterday I had to get up at 5 a.m. for graduation.
Oh.
It was at fucking 9 in the morning and we had to be there at 8. So, of course, I had to get up at the ass crack of dawn to get ready.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember my graduation was very early, my undergrad one. I didn't go to the grad school one, but my undergrad graduation was at, I think, 9:30. And I was horrifically hungover, as was everybody in the pit. Like, it was a literal pit. We were covered in sweat. Somebody fainted right next to me. He was green. It was a green person. Like, it was a nightmare.
When did you graduate? Which semester?
You were there too.
I was there too.
Yeah. It was fall semester 2016.
Do you remember the guy who ordered nachos and was eating them during graduation on the floor?
No, I didn't see that.
He was like two chairs down from me, but like he squeezed in front of everybody to go get these nachos handed to him from his mother and like squeezed all the way back. And then he didn't know what to do with them when he was done. So he shoved them under a random person's chair.
That's our school. I do remember people passing around tequila shots.
Oh, I didn't see that.
That also happened. That's SIU, though, which is why I love it.
Yeah, graduation this time was weird. It felt like I was in, like, North Korea, because the way that, like, all the chairs were spaced out and the skies were super gray and they were... Allison and I kept making fun of, like, this weird doomy music that they were playing the whole time. There was nothing uplifting about these symphony pieces that they chose. It was... We were like, this feels like when Bambi's mother gets shot.
Oh my God. Wow. Okay. Dystopian vibe.
Yeah. So that on a football field where everyone is 6 feet away from one another and it's like gonna rain.
Yeah. That's pretty weird.
Yeah. It was spooky.
Well, congratulations on graduating.
I am happy to be done, but also... looking down the barrel of the rest of my life is terrifying.
Oh my God. Yeah. And it's weird the things that like structure your life. Like sometimes you choose them. Like you choose to get married, you choose to have a kid. Sometimes you don't. Like, and that would be scary to have, like, you're not going to have a big event that you're looking forward to that you know of yet. You will, but you don't know what it will be yet.
Yeah, right now it's just this weird, barren nothingness that I don't know what to build on yet.
Yeah,
I don't like that. I don't quite like it. I'm just focusing on moving into a new place right now and making it my whole personality and all of my goals.
Moving like three blocks away is your whole personality. Not to be a bitch. It is a big event.
I am moving. I'm still beneath the poverty line, but with hardwood floors and ceiling fans.
No, those are markers of success. It is a marker of success to have a hardwood floor instead of like a bad carpet, you know?
To have a parking lot I won't get robbed at gunpoint in.
Goals. Yeah, that is a goal.
Mm-hmm.
That is a goal. Hopefully, yes. Hopefully a parking lot that your tires will not get slashed in six times.
Yeah, and just maybe everything will fall into place. Because, you know, last night my credit card got frauded. So what the fuck is my life?
It's not funny, but...
It's funny.
It's like a sprinkling of funny. Only because... for whatever reason, like, you're the kind of person that that stuff happens to.
I find it hilarious because every time something good happens, something bad happens. The universe just has to remind me of my place.
It's the Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, it's like, don't get comfy. Like, you're not successful.
Yeah. Mine are more like physical things. Like, I fall down the stairs or like I...
and then I make fun of you and then yeah. I fall down in a parking lot.
You pass out and hit your head in a parking lot.
The last time I make fun of you for falling down in a crosswalk.
So today we are doing a special episode. It is the Fun Time Inquisition special.
Oh, the Inquisition.
Yeah. We're going to interrogate each other. We're going to ask all the questions that you have wanted to know.
Or at least that we have wanted to know.
Right. We don't know. We don't really know what you wanted to know. We know what we want to know, though.
We assumed on your behalf what you might want to know.
Yes. And now we're going to interrogate each other at gunpoint.
Yes. So if you don't know who we are at this point, I'm Liz. I'm a witch.
Oh, I'm Sarah. I'm a Catholic.
I'm going to ask her questions I have about Catholicism, and she's going to ask me questions that she has about witchcraft, and that's what this whole episode's going to be.
Yeah, the end. Okay, do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
I can go first.
Okay.
So, like I told you, I like just jotted down one question at like the middle of the night, mm-hmm. and then somehow I had racked up like 13 on accident. And I was like, wow, I really know nothing about Catholicism. Like, I thought yeah. I had it all figured out.
The same thing. The same kind of thing happened to me too. Whereas like a question leads to another question and then it's mm-hmm. like a rabbit hole.
Yeah. And I really had to like force myself not to Google like the answers to stuff. It's like I gotta ask Sarah. That's the whole point of
oh,
this.
Oh no, I am not the expert. This is gonna but, be like, embarrassing.
Basic stuff. So like my first question, I told you it's gonna be like Catholicism 101.
Maybe.
So my first question is, what happens during a typical service? Like, what's the breakdown of a typical service? Because all I know is like the Protestant services that I grew up with like mm-hmm. the hymns and the Sunday school and the singings yeah. and the sermons and the baptisms. What does it look like for you guys?
So I actually just went to Mass last night for the first time since October, so I got a little refresher. I used to go every weekend. I haven't gone regularly since COVID, but I'm getting vaccinated, double vaxxed soon, so I'll be able to go again, which is very exciting to me. So a typical Mass, and this is like not a holiday, just like regular Sunday or Saturday. We have them Saturday evenings too. You go in, you sit down, you pray a little bit till it starts. The priest will come in to a song. He has a little entrance song that he
has intro music.
He has his own intro music. Exactly. Altar servers too will process in with him. He will do a short little intro. We do intro prayers and stuff. And then we do the readings. There are basically two parts to a Mass. There's the liturgy of the word, and then there's the liturgy of the Eucharist. So we do three readings. We do one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament, and then the Gospel, which again is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, about Jesus's life. And then after the readings, the priest will do some stand-up comedy for 5 to 10 minutes. No, well, some priests do. It's actually funny, like, how different priests are. Some will be very, very serious about their homily. I think other, like, Protestants call it, like, a sermon or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes they're super serious. Sometimes the priest will be like, hey, did you see the sports game last night? Like, here's a story about, like, a kid in Sunday school that is funny. Like, it just depends. And then we do the Eucharist, and it's a lot of prayer. It's a lot of kneeling, sit, stand, kneel, sit, stand again, that kind of thing. It's funny because a lot of Catholics, it's something you do all the time and you don't even think about it. So to get the question of like, what is Mass like, is actually really interesting because you're like, oh, what is it like? Like, what are the parts of the Mass? Like, I don't even think about it. It all kind of like runs together. So I'm drawing on like stuff that I was told in Sunday school right now. Like, okay, this is what this is called. This is what this is called. Because you don't have to know actually what the parts of the Mass are to participate in it. Like, it's just like memorization and routine and stuff. And the whole thing lasts just about an hour. Every single time. That's it. We go home. We don't stay after and greet each other. There's no extended period of where it's all Sunday morning, us hanging out together, singing songs. We do our business and we go home. There's like a joke that Catholicism is like the only Christian denomination where they don't have coat racks in the doorway because we're not hanging out there.
Yeah, my church experience is very much like a just your whole morning is gone.
Oh, no, no, no.
It's you go in the morning and when you're done, you go get lunch.
It's no,
it's that long.
We don't have time for that shit. And it's interesting thinking about like why that is and what is it about Catholics that makes it necessary for us to keep it to just 1 hour.
I don't know exactly. Yours is so structured compared to what I grew up with that like the sermons and the Sunday school and like the singing and all of that stuff is just so much like looser is kind of the word that I would use.
That's something I'm interested in too, because I've only been to maybe two other like service type things that weren't Catholic. Like I went to an evangelical one once because I had a friend growing up who went to that church. And I remember thinking like, I don't really get it. Like I don't get like who's deciding what's going to happen next, you know?
Pretty much just the pastor.
Yeah.
He's just in charge and you just do what he says.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense, but also it's kind of scary to me.
Yeah, and it's very strange. And I mean, we've kind of talked before about how like he's got like a whole family and everything. So usually you've got like his wife and his kids and everything. And they're just kind of like the people that you listen to.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting.
It's definitely different.
Yeah, and like there are different, like in a sense, every Mass is the exact same. And in another sense, they're very different. Like, so there's a priest in Carbondale who is at St. Francis Xavier, and one thing he really likes to do is he will have baptisms during Mass, like regular ass Mass, he'll have a baptism. And so like, sometimes you'll go like 4 weeks in a row with one baptism, whereas other priests, what they'll do is like, in order to not take up more people's time, they will do a baptism separate from regular Mass and they'll do like six at a time. So like stuff like that, it just depends on like the priest's preference. So that can change it up a little bit, but it's pretty much the same here as it is in Rome. You know, like there's not a lot of difference.
Yeah. And I find that interesting that you could pop into like different Catholic churches and pretty much get like the same kind of experience for the most part.
The same prayers, just different languages and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I have a question for you. Well, I have lots of questions, but
I'm hoping I can answer them.
So, I mean, hopefully you can, because most of them are like personal. Mm-hmm. So I wrote down what I thought my first question would be. And now I'm thinking I have a different first question before I get to that first question. So I guess my first question would be like, what does the term witchcraft mean to you personally? Like, it doesn't have to be like, oh, here's the definition, but like when you say like I practice witchcraft, like what does that mean to you?
Witchcraft, to me, I kind of have to get into maybe like what specific kind of witch I am. Mm-hmm. So there are a bunch of different kinds of witches.
That's one of my other questions.
Yeah, I won't get too into it, so I can answer that later. But there's a bunch of different kinds of witches. And I'm something called an intrinsic witch. So I work with energies of things. And so witchcraft to me is just pretty much just tuning into the stuff that's already out there all the time. So like trees have energy, cars have energy, people have energy. And like, it's just a matter of me paying attention to those things and doing something with those things. So working spells is just working with the energy of ingredients and the energy of intentions. And like whenever I made the spell bottle for you, I'm working with your energy, but the energy of the thing that I'm trying to manifest for you, and also the energy of the different ingredients that I had. So that, I forget where I was going with that. I lost my train of thought. But yeah, witchcraft to me is mostly just like paying attention to the energy that's like already out there. I don't know if that makes sense or if I need to go more into depth with that.
So like, would you say that intuition is like a big part of it?
Yeah, that's a big thing. And that's one of the reasons that I keep saying I'm terrified to answer questions is I consider myself a bad witch because I work so much with intuition that whenever I got into witchcraft, and I've been doing this for, I don't know, like a decade at this point, I was never a witch who sat down and I read books or I took like online seminars or I learned from other people. Like I did everything based on the intuition of like what I felt and what I should do. So when I pick out ingredients for spells and stuff, I don't like research how you should put a spell together or the right things to use. I really just go by intuition and intuition completely. So like, I consider myself a very bad witch because I'm not very like learned.
In like the textbook way.
Yeah. And then sometimes I go find out that like my intuition matches up like really well with like the book stuff. Whenever I got into herbs and things, I very much just went by intuition and I picked out things that felt very much like the spells that I wanted to put together, the bottles that I wanted to do. And then later on I looked up like what they were used for and found out that they like matched up completely to what I had wanted. Like this was for money. This was for health. This was for dreams.
I see.
Yeah. So, like intuition is pretty much all I rely on. So, and that's like 98% of what I do is just intuition of things, intuition of crystals, energy, digils, anything.
Okay. That's interesting. I have like, see, you said that and now I have way more questions, but go ahead, because I could keep like asking you things and I will keep asking you things, but
my second question, I wrote down that we talked once about how confession doesn't take place in those fancy boxes that they show on TV all the time.
Sometimes it does. Sometimes it does. I've never seen one in my life.
And they never show you anything but that on TV. It's only the fancy boxes.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of curious, like, how often you're supposed to, like, go to confession. And then, like, how they decide what you're supposed to do after you confess something. Like, is there just, like, a cheat sheet back there? Speed of his life equals this.
That's a good question. Confession is really weird because like we've talked about on the podcast, it didn't really become a thing until like the Middle Ages. Like, and I know that's a long time ago, but like it's not as old as Christianity itself. And so people feel all kinds of like different ways about confession. I have not been to confession in 2 years, probably. Like it's been a long time. And you're supposed to go like all the time, like often. I think there's a trend against it in modern Catholicism, not like a theological trend, but like just a societal trend of like, why do I need to go and like tell my sins to a person? Like, can't I just like pray for forgiveness? Like, that's kind of the trend that it's going towards, which is understandable, but also like not a theological thing that you're supposed to do. So I haven't been in a while. I forgot your question.
How they decide what you're supposed to do.
I don't know. I don't
know. You just make it up.
I'm sure there's some kind of logic to it. So the thing about confession that is like the dogma about it is that during confession, you are not actually speaking to the priest. You are speaking through the priest to God. He is the mediator. So theoretically, whatever kind of penance you get is coming from God. Like, that's the idea. Like, the priest is just the mouthpiece. So usually it's like, oh, 10 Hail Marys and 10 Our Fathers, like that kind of thing. And then you go and like do it right away, or you'll forget. but that's the kind of thing it is. It's never like anything crazy.
I need you to go rob a bank right now.
What if you had a priest that told people to commit crimes? That would be a good story.
Yes, go write that story.
Yeah, but I don't know how they figure it out. I don't know how they decide.
No, I was always just curious because, you know, watch, like, most of my exposure to this is through TV. And so you just hear them come up with like random numbers to things. And it's like, why? Why these numbers to these things?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, there's a significance to the number 3, and there's a significance to 10 because of the rosary. In the rosary, you say 10 Hail Marys for each part of it. So there's that. So maybe it's that. I'm not sure exactly. That is a good question, though. Maybe we should ask a priest.
We just invite him onto the show. He's super uncomfortable.
He hates it. Oh my God. Actually, the priest in Carbondale is very woke and very like with the times. So if we were to ever invite one on the show, he would be a good one to ask. But I don't want to.
I'm scared. I don't know how you can live in a college town and not be a little bit woke. So
yeah, I think you would get frustrated and give up pretty quickly if you weren't. He's a really nice guy. He's a very good guy. Okay, so what is a common misconception about witchcraft that you would like people to stop perpetuating?
So the really obvious one, the obvious one would be that, you know, people who practice witchcraft, it has absolutely nothing to do with the devil or with Satan or with anything, which we talk about on the show all the time, mm-hmm. How it gets conflated. And, you know, that's why people end up getting killed. But I mean, that still very much persists to this day, that idea. And it kind of reminds me of Mary Magdalene, because I was just watching a video on TikTok, I think it was yesterday, that somebody called her a prostitute. And it's like, wow, people say stuff and it really just like lives on for like fucking centuries.
Yeah, it sticks.
Yeah. So the whole like witchcraft, like packs with the devil stuff, like 100% is still floating around there. Mm-hmm. So the biggest thing that I would like misconception that I would want to correct is that like witchcraft is a craft. It's not a religion. And it has absolutely nothing to do with Satan or the devil. The first time I ever explained it to my sister, she looked at me and she went, "So you worship trees?" And I went, "No, but you're on the right track."
It's closer than devil worship.
It's much closer.
Tree worship. Have you seen those videos of the people who like their sexuality is like they make love to the earth? And it's them like dry humping trees. It's like really disturbing. Not to be like sex negative, but like how do you know that the tree is consenting? Did you get verbal consent from the tree? Like, this is scary.
Oh, I don't like that thought.
It's not good. I wouldn't encourage you to seek out those videos. I didn't seek them out. They just happened to me. Okay, so it's not devil worship. We need to end that misconception.
And yeah, the second thing is just that it's a craft. It's not a religion, which we've talked about way back on the show when it first started. You can be any sort of religion and practice witchcraft. I call myself a pagan witch, but like I work with pagan gods just as much as I work with angels. And I believe in the Christian God just as much as I believe in like the Norse ones. So, and then I practice witchcraft on top of that. Like I said, energies, there's not a religion attached to that. It's just energy. So,
yeah. And I feel like that is a misconception because I did ask people if they had like questions for you, just like some people I know. And a lot of their questions were focused as if they were asking about a religion that had like orthodox constraints and structure. Mm-hmm. And so it's just interesting because we live in like a puritanical society, like it was founded by the Puritans. And so we have this mm-hmm. idea that like all systems of faith have particular rules and structure. And that's just like not the case.
Yeah, and we've talked too about the whole orthodox versus like orthoprax, that for us it's more about we all share practices and we don't share beliefs. So we'll all celebrate Yule, but we don't believe in the same gods. And maybe we all make like spell bottles, but like we don't have the same setup to like our orders, and we don't even all have orders. And
yeah,
so. Yeah.
It's interesting.
We share some things, but beliefs usually were kind of all over the place.
Yeah. And I think that is hard to grasp because there's kind of like this commonly held modern idea that like beliefs equal practices.
Mm-hmm. It's really hard to do something like separate like the Eucharist from Christianity.
Yeah.
But that's essentially what we've done, is we've taken the practices and like divorced it from religion.
Yeah.
And then we just apply whatever religion we want to it.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah.
It's my turn. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I wrote down a lot of things that we've talked about before, but like I want to talk about again, or I want to talk about on here, or mm-hmm. like I've just forgotten what we talked about. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
So this one is that you mentioned one time really offhand on a car ride. I forget. I feel like we were coming back from a winery or something.
Probably.
Probably. That's generally where we took car rides too.
Yeah, that's about it.
That's our life. That's what we did. We did tarot at wineries. That was our personality.
Aww, I missed that. That was really fun. I really looked forward to those, and I cherish those memories.
Yeah. Well, I'll still be down here. So if you ever just want to visit and go to a winery and do some tarot.
I will, definitely. I just need to like pick a date and just do it.
Yeah. Hannah got me a new tarot deck, too. So. Yeah, it's gorgeous. I love it.
I'm excited.
Anywho, you mentioned one time really offhand on a car ride, last rites. Like what they were, but you also, and this is the part that I can't really remember about the conversation. I don't 100% remember what they were, but I especially can't remember what you said about like things that you do to make sure that you get to have them.
Yes, I think I remember that conversation. Last rites, also known as anointing of the sick, is one of like the sacraments. We have seven of them. And really it's like, obviously, because it's called anointing of the sick, like it assumes that you will have enough time to like call a priest or like make the arrangements beforehand. Unfortunately, that's not always the case. Having the sacrament is not the only way to get into heaven. Like basically what it's designed to do is it's designed to absolve you of any mortal sins that would send you to hell. So it's clearing those from your conscience. And it's just the priest giving you like an extra special preparatory blessing designed to shorten your time in purgatory. So one of the things that Catholics do that not all Christians do is we pray for dead people because we believe that there is purgatory, like that purgatory is a real thing that exists. Not all Christians believe that. So, but the idea is if we are human and we are inherently sinful because we are human, how can we immediately go to heaven? How is that possible? If heaven is a place for perfect souls, how could we possibly get there if we're like fallen and we're mortal? So purgatory is like, it's called like, I think the translation or something is like cleansing fire. Like, so we have that in between time. So we're doing things on earth to shorten our time or other people's time in purgatory. That's one of like our main responsibilities. So one of the things you can do to like pray for yourself before you are dead is you can pray the rosary regularly. So one of the promises of the rosary, which was given to some saint in a vision by Mary, was that if you pray this regularly, you will not die without having received last rites. So that's kind of like it's all connected in a way. Like we do this so that this will happen and that we will go to heaven or our loved ones will go to heaven. So that's the ultimate goal, is getting everybody there. Yeah, so it's all connected like that. Does that answer it? Yes. Yeah, and there are other ways. So like indulgences obviously is like a bad word because of in the Middle Ages, priests would sell indulgences, which is obviously terrible and we should not be doing that. But indulgences still exist and there are different kinds of them. So like the Pope can like hand out indulgences and stuff. Like the Pope can declare that like, okay, on this holy day, if you pray a rosary and then go to confession and confess all your sins, like you will be given an indulgence. Like you will be granted like full absolution of everything. So if you die, like right after confession, you will go straight to heaven.
So just walk in front of a bus immediately after.
And end it all. And then you wake up in the hospital and you're like, fuck. That's a terrible joke. But yeah, so there are different like ways of shortening like yours or other people's time in purgatory. Like that's the idea.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to both have this refresher and to have it recorded in case I forget it again.
I forget it too. Like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I am not the expert. So I might have said something completely wrong. Okay, so you talked about gods and goddesses and stuff. Mm-hmm. Which ones, you said angels, but which ones specifically do you feel connected to? And how did you arrive at those connections?
So my, like the gods, goddesses, anything that I'm close to kind of shifts at any given point. Normally a witch, most of the witches that I know have like deities that they're particularly attached to and they stick with them for like decades and they make altars to them. Mm-hmm. I've never made an altar to a deity. I've never been that close to a deity. And the ones that I have been close to, again, like it kind of shifts. It seems like they kind of come in and out of focus based on like what's going on in my life at that point. So if I'm in like a very transitional phase in my life, then like a particular goddess might come forth. And I usually, how I know somebody is like stepping forward is I tend to dream about them.
Oh.
So, and I told you like I dreamt about Moses.
Yeah.
So it's the same kind of thing that I end up dreaming about, like gods or goddesses, or sometimes things will come to me as like animals or something, and it's a little bit harder to figure out what they are. But like if they show up in multiple different like forms, but they're always like this, I had one, one animal that it was always a white animal. Sometimes it would be like a dove, and then it would be like a white rabbit, and then it would be a white fox, but it showed up in every single one of my dreams. And like, I had to track down what it was, but I knew it was something because it was there in every single one of my dreams. Mm-hmm. But that's typically how I know that something's stepping forward to let me know that, like, I'm important to you right now and you should invoke me. I'm watching over you. I'm going to be important to your spell work. I've got your back. And then I usually end up with like maybe 5 or 6 at any given point. And it's usually kind of like a round cast of people that I can pray to. Mm-hmm. So like if I'm traveling, there's somebody normally that I've got that I can pray to. If I'm having a difficult time financially, there's someone usually that I've got that I can pray to. If there's a lot of I'm feeling sick or someone in my family's sick, there's usually someone there. So it's never like I get like all war goddesses at the same time.
War. And you're like, listen, I just need to clean the kitchen. Like, yeah. Calm down.
But angels are something that I'm getting into working with, and I kind of like working with them. I'm not working with any specific one in particular right now, just trying to work with them in general. Mm-hmm. But I like how kind of like androgynous they feel. Gods and goddesses and things are nice, but sometimes like having like their whole backstory and this entire narrative to them and knowing what they look like and how they dress, yeah, and everything. I like having a little bit like more androgynous like energy to work with.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So I like to lean toward angels, especially when I'm doing spell work, because I feel like they mix with spell work really, really nicely. But yeah, that's pretty much my answer, is that like I'm not particularly tied to one person, mm-hmm, ever. It's always shifting, and they always pretty much announce themselves to me. It's never like I read about somebody and I'm like, ah, yes, I picked this goddess.
Yeah. And that goes back to like the intuition thing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Would you say you have like a very powerful intuition that like shapes your life in every way?
Yeah. Because I've told you that I'm really good at guessing stuff.
Yeah.
I'm really good at guessing numbers. I say the same things that other people say all the time. I've said things to you before that you've thought before and freaked you out.
Wait, I think I remember, but I don't remember the specifics. Since I was 18, I have dulled my brain.
Like the time I said that I would let Ashley punch me in the face because I wanted to know what it felt like.
I thought that too.
Yes. So there's some times that I just randomly pick up on like what other people think or have thought before. I, yeah, talk at the same times other people talk sometimes and say the exact same things that they do.
And Ashley would be the one to do it because she, yes, would do it and she wouldn't hold back and you would still be friends afterward.
Exactly.
That's so interesting. I'm really interested in the dream aspect because I don't think I've had a dream that I remember. I've had like 5 dreams that I remember in the last like 3 years. You know,
my dreams are so weird. They're so detailed always. My head is always building people and plots and houses and settings. And like I've just told you about a couple in the last couple of days, things that I've dreamt. But I mean, it's like that every single night. And if I wake up and go back to sleep, it's a different dream with another full-fledged plot and cast.
Yeah.
It's just so much. It's so much.
I feel like I've built like a chemical wall between myself and my dreams, like my sleeping, like so much, because the thing that I hate the absolute most is not being able to sleep. I cannot handle it.
There was maybe a 6-year period of my life that I stopped dreaming, which, mm-hmm, was really strange for me because I've had very vivid dreams like all throughout my childhood, mm-hmm, that like my parents had to put me on medication because I wouldn't stop having nightmares.
Yeah.
But for like 5 or 6 years, I stopped dreaming. And it was really, really strange to me to not dream. Mm-hmm. But I finally started getting it back, like once I started meditating and getting really like back into witchcraft and just got like really in tune with myself again.
Yeah.
So I don't know if anything like that would help you meditating.
I'm scared to get in tune with myself. I don't know if I like her. I don't know if I'm going to like what I find, you know, what I dig up from the depths. I think it, maybe it should be buried, you know. Oh, I'm scared. I am scared. Like, and meditating, I do believe in like its positive qualities, its healing qualities. Like, I definitely believe that. Like, who am I to say that it's dumb? Like, I'm nobody. But like, physically, it is very difficult for me to get into.
I have to do guided meditations. I can't do the alone with my thoughts meditations. My
No. I don't want to be there.
My brain goes everywhere and nowhere, and it's just not productive. And then I'm like, my foot itches the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's not good. But like guided meditations where they're, you know, like visualize that you can feel this like going down your spine and like you can feel the building blocks of this now and now focus on this particular muscle. It's like, okay, this is good because it's telling me to just do this one thing and I can follow instructions.
Yeah, that is true. That's true. Yeah. And I've tried some of those and I know there are like tons of different like meditation like practices and stuff, and so I probably just need to like take the time to figure it out. But I've tried like, so some of them are like too out there for me. Like some of them are spiritual in a way that like my mind doesn't believe, so therefore my body doesn't trust it.
Mm-hmm.
So
I definitely have to do the really grounded ones. Mm-hmm. Like the more out there it gets, the more that I'm just like, this is bullshit.
The bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah. But the more it just talks about like the muscles in your body and like visualize this kind of a sensation here. It's like, I can do that stuff. I have a body. I don't have to trick myself into believing I have a body.
Yeah. Wait, do I have a body? Wait, what is a body? Those are like my kinds of thoughts. It's so annoying. That's interesting. I forget what question was asked by whom.
I think you asked me about gods and goddesses.
Oh, maybe? Got it. Yeah, I've been talking too much.
That's okay. That's fine. Because you actually answered my next question, I think, already.
Because
I asked, I wrote a question about like, what are you supposed to do with the rosary? But you've talked about the rosary quite a bit. Which I appreciate because I don't understand it. It's just a string of beads to me.
Well, yeah. Well, number one, you are not supposed to wear it around your neck. So anybody who does that is just doing it for style. They're not a Catholic.
And see, what's funny to me is that I had a rosary that I wore, but it wasn't set up like a regular rosary. The beads were separated according to the sabbats.
Oh, that's interesting.
And at the end, it had a pentagram on it. But people would see it all the time, just like the beads. And they would go like, oh, you're Catholic. And I would just have to lift up the pentagram.
And they're like, and you're a Satanist.
They would have no idea what to say. It's like, it's not like I took a rosary and like attached this. It's like the beads are literally configured in an entirely different way. And they were made out of like gold stone or something too. So,
yeah. People definitely make like a lot of assumptions. That's interesting though. That's a cool idea because it is like a circle, like representing like, you know, like the wheel of the year and stuff. That's very cool. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's gorgeous though. Really
cool. Yeah. But yeah, so the rosary is like, you've got three starting beads. Those are three prayers. And then it's basically like you say an Our Father, then you say 10 Hail Marys, then you say a Glory Be, and then you say the Fatima prayer, and then it just repeats 5 times. And each, they're called the mysteries, like each section. So, and you pray a different one on each like day of the week. So like Sunday and Wednesday, I think, are like the glorious mysteries. And this is like, so these are the five events of Jesus's life that you're supposed to meditate on. And then like Friday and Tuesday, you pray the sorrowful mysteries. So that's like the passion. But yeah,
that's interesting. Because I mean, again, I get everything from TV and rosary. They go into nothing about the rosary on TV. It's just beads on the TV.
Yeah.
And carry places.
Yeah. Well, because it's kind of like, and this is the thing with like all of Catholicism, is that like, if you really got into the detail, it would be kind of boring. Like if you showed a whole mass on TV, it would be boring. Like if you showed what confession is actually like, it would be boring. Like mm-hmm. It's not people confessing their entire life stories. It's like you in a room with a priest and you're like, hey, I stole from the grocery store. And he's like, say 10 Hail Marys. Like, it's not that exciting.
Mm-hmm. I wish they would find a way to make it both accurate and exciting. Like, I wish that they could find a way to strike a balance.
Maybe that's my goal.
Yeah, because it's the same way that we end up about with, like, misconceptions about witchcraft. And half of it's because of the shit that they put on TV, that everybody's a devil worshiper who's into witchcraft.
Yeah. And it's you guys bathe in blood on a full moon and together.
Dance in the forest naked. It's like, why we sacrifice cats? It's like, come on. Give us one normal like movie or show or something.
So that's actually like one of my questions. Was that like, what do you feel? Do you feel that there is an accurate representation on in like pulp? Pop culture that you've seen?
No.
Or like so like my mom and my friend Madeline specifically asked about Harry Potter. Like, how do you personally feel about Harry Potter as opposed to like other pop culture representations?
To me, Harry Potter has absolutely nothing to do with witchcraft at all. Mm-hmm. Like whenever I think about Harry Potter, I don't think about witchcraft. I think about more like swords, sorcery, wizards.
Yeah, that fantasy. Kind of thing.
It's 100% like fantasy to me.
Okay.
Because like we might have like wands and things, but it's not like we're pointing them at things and like yelling spells,
right.
Expecting stuff to be set on fire.
Right. But there are like incantations and stuff, right? Like, do you perform incantations?
There are more traditional witches and stuff out there who do like incantations and things. There are some that you say over like holidays and stuff.
Okay. But
it's not like there's one incantation for something in the way that there is like in Harry Potter. It's like you have to say it this way or like it doesn't work. And that's the way it is in TV too. Like if you flub a word, like it doesn't work.
Yeah.
For us, like you can go look up like an Imbolc ritual and everybody will be like, hey, here's the Imbolc ritual that I wrote. It's based off of so-and-so's who's based off of so-and-so's who's based off of so-and-so's. That's a mix of like these four other peoples. So we all just write like our own stuff. If you don't like how somebody else worded it, then you word your own. Doesn't mm-hmm. have to rhyme. I don't personally, again, I work with energies and stuff and like words. I'm not a person who thinks that like words hold any power. I mm-hmm. personally like chanting a word over and over does like nothing for me.
Okay.
I'm more going to work with like sigils and things like that.
Like symbols that are like made with an intention.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can take other people's sigils, but you can make your own. I make my own sigils. But yeah, the incantations, you might have witches and things who use them, but it's not like you think where it's like we have the spell that we've passed down for like 40 generations and it's in Latin and you have to say it right. It's like, no, this is probably like Deborah's aunt's like poem that she put in the back of like her cookbook and like 12 Deborah. People rewrote it.
Nice. I do like that though, because there is still like community and stuff. And now I'm like brought back to the episode where we talked about the magic cheese that the pregnant woman ate.
Yeah, with the stuff carved into it.
Yeah, it's so interesting, the common practices.
Yeah, and you can do stuff like that in witchcraft. I mean, another, not to again get to this question before we get to it, but another type of witch is a kitchen witch, and they do a lot of sigil work and stuff with foods.
That's interesting. That was another question that I had.
So this one just says, how does confirmation work? I know nothing about it at all.
So confirmation is one of the sacraments also. And it's a sacrament.
Last rites, and this is like same grouping of stuff.
So the seven are, let me see if I know. Baptism, that would be the first one. Reconciliation, so the first time you go to confession. Confirmation, matrimony, holy orders, so any religious calling, and then anointing of the sick. What's the one I'm missing?
Don't ask me.
What's the one I'm missing? You know how like the seven deadly sins, the one you can't remember is the one you're guilty of? I always get gluttony. Anyway, we're not going there. Oh my God, what is it? This is so embarrassing.
I always forget envy, and that's definitely the one that I'm guilty of.
Me too. I mean, I'm guilty of all of them, like all the time. Every single day, I'm guilty of all of them. Oh, I'll think of it. Anyway, confirmation is one of them. And what happens is that's when you become like an adult member of the church. So like for other Christians, that would be like your baptism, but because we do infant baptism, it's something separate. So because like when you're an infant, you don't get a choice. You're baptized into the church, but confirmation is you choosing as an adult with free will to be confirmed. So when adults will convert to Catholicism, they get baptized and confirmed in the same process. Hmm. So confirmation is just when the bishop comes and there's a bunch of high school kids who like aren't really sure if they want to be Catholic, but their mom is making them. So they're like, I guess. No, for some people it is like a very serious occasion and some people don't want to be there at all. Like it just
depends. They pick a saint as a joke.
Yeah, they pick a saint. They pick Moses the Black as a joke. And then they're stuck with Moses the Black. Moses the Black is like, I will protect this child so much forever. Yeah, you pick a saint and then like you're renamed as that saint. So my name would be Francis because I picked a dude, which I wasn't supposed to do, but I was like, fuck you and fuck your gender norms and fuck everything.
They're like, your new name's Francis. And you're like, damn it.
I played myself.
That backfired.
Yeah, it did. No, it didn't. I feel happy about my choice. I picked him because he was the patron saint of writers. So
it's a good choice.
Sounds legit. Yeah, and the bishop marks you with some oil on your forehead and you're good to go. And it's not a very like long drawn out process. Yeah, you're a real boy. Oops, we talked too long.
This went on way, way longer than we anticipated looking at the clock now. So we are going to have to split this Q&A into a part one and a part two. So this will be part one and part two will be posted in the next couple of weeks.
And we will see you then. Thanks be to God.
Blessed be.